Blog Talk Radio.
You're holy, and you're the God of power and
good morning, saints. I hope all are doing well. As for me, I'm just ecstatic to be alive, as we say in the African American church. It's wonderful to be above ground. That's the old saying. When you say, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm happy. I'm above ground," which means you're alive. And not just alive, but you're alive in Christ. You're alive in Jesus. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are giving you kind of a skeleton outline of Romans, the book of Romans and Romans 16. If you turn to your outline here, we on Friday, we're going to be talking about serious warnings. Serious warnings falls under that section 3, where the Apostle Paul has a sudden change of subject and tone. And he kind of like abruptly introduces a new subject out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. So let's read it, and then we'll pray. Romans 16, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We praise your wonderful name. And we thank you for another day of life, and not just life, but life more abundantly in Christ. Bless us, Lord, as we consider this section of Romans 16. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and encourage us and build us up in the faith. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Yesterday we talked about how Paul was very frugal with his recommendation. How Paul, at the end of this letter, recommends only one person. And not only is he very frugal with his one recommendation, but he is greeting many, numerous greetings, because over the years in the ministry, in the service of Christ, he has grown to love, he has grown to establish bonds of relationship and bonds of friendship with so many, and so he sends them acknowledgments of service and greetings that are just oozing with love. Now, there's a sudden tone in the text. There's a sudden shift. And that's because danger is on the horizon. He says in verse 17, "Now I beseech you," or in other words, I beg you, my brothers, notice again the love within the family of God. We are brethren. Jesus said that there should be no leader in the church who tries to tower above the rest of the membership, because you are all brethren. I beseech you, brethren. I implore you. I beg you. Mark them. Paul say to do, mark them, identify them, mark them which cause two things, division and offenses. Now, my purpose today is not to tell you what does it mean to mark. We're going to deal with that later on. My purpose today is not to get deep in the woods talking about what is division and the dangers of division and the results of division and what are offenses. We're going to do that later on. But this is just a superficial analysis of this section called the sudden change of subject and tone, serious warnings. He says, I beseech you, brethren, and of course, the beseeching, the responsibility is laid on the shoulders of every member. Paul is not just speaking to the pastors here. He's speaking to every congregant of the Church of Rome. It's every congregant's responsibility to keep their eyes peeled and to sound the alarm when suddenly people who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine that we have learned show up. And what does Paul recommend that we do? Avoid them. Avoid them like the plague. Why? Because they're trouble. Why? Because in verse 18 he says, for they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, these people claim to serve Jesus, but they don't serve him. They just don't serve him. They serve their own interest. They serve their own bellies. They have fleshly cravings. They operate not in the spirit, but in the flesh. And by using the gift of gab, or Paul puts it this way, or it's put this way in the King James, and by good words and fair speeches, that's the gift of gab, they deceive the hearts of those who are simple or those who are inexperienced in wolfish tactics. These are wolves that have infiltrated the church. So Paul, again here, speaks about, hey, be on the alert. Now, let's pause here for a moment. And let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, that I would be the first to tell you that I wished that we Christians lived in an ecclesiastical utopia. That would be my wish, that everything inside the church would be beautiful, that everything inside the church would be peaceful, that everything within the circumference of what we call ecclesiology, that everything would be peaches and cream. But it's not. We don't live in an ecclesiastical utopia because the moment we have a utopia, Satan sends his emissaries. And this is why everyone needs to be on the lookout. Everyone. Everyone is to be trained. Now, again, it's not that we're spying on people. No, we're not spying on people. It's just that you have to have your eyes and ears peeled to see what they do and hear what they say. Because not all who claim to be Christians are Christians. So Paul says, live in reality. Now again, people want the church to be a place where nothing evil comes in. But when you read the New Testament again and again and again, we are constantly warned that wolves are on the way. So, again, I wish that I can say to you that we're going to have everything beautiful at Grace. But that won't be the case. Because let me tell you something. If something genuine is happening at Grace, if something truly of God is happening at Grace, if the Spirit of the Lord is blessing Grace Church, if the Lord would be adding to the church daily as such as should be saved, we will be a target for Satan. We're going to be a target. Now, this is what Paul says. Let's go back to chapter 16, verse 17. And again, this is not the exposition. I'm not breaking it down yet. This is just an overview. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Now, to mark them is our action. But we only mark them after their action. Notice, he says, now, brethren, don't be paranoid. Now, brethren, don't jump the gun. Now, brethren, don't pull the trigger. You only mark them which have already caused divisions and offenses. So their actions trigger our reaction. That's what Paul says. Listen, don't mistrust anyone. Welcome them into the fellowship. But once they act, once they show what they're really about, once they reveal their true colors, then you are to react. Their actions trigger your reaction, and your reaction is to mark them and avoid them. That's the recommendation. You mark them, you identify them, and then you avoid them like the plague, have nothing to do with them. Why? Because contrary to what they say, they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are operating in the flesh, and they're good at lying. They're good at hiding their motives. With their fair speeches, they deceive those who are not really informed about these people. So notice, let's read the little thing I have here, the little write-up. It says, starting at verse 17, Paul warns the believers at Rome about the imminent arrival of false brethren. The goal of these pseudo-Christians is to infiltrate the church, hijack its direction, and alter its character. If these people go unchecked, if gone unchecked, the results will be disastrous. These satanic agents will ruin the loving, united, hardworking fellowship of Rome with their insidious doctrines. St. Paul's strong recommendation is this: avoid these people at all cost. So are we to be a welcoming church? Absolutely. Are we to be a loving church? Absolutely. Embrace them, love them, welcome them. But the moment they show who they are by their actions, that triggers an immediate reaction. You can't be slow on this. Listen. If there's a fox who comes from one of your meat hens, and you can see him on the outskirts and already, you know it's a fox, and he's coming, and he's going around your cage, and he's looking for a way in to grab one of your meat hens. Now, if you don't pull the trigger, if you don't go grab your .22, if you don't put a bullet in the fox, or let's say you don't want to kill the fox, you just want to shoot a warning. If you don't react immediately, your chickens will be gone because it's a fox. It's a fox. And what do foxes do? They serve their own belly. A fox will only do as his natural cravings will cause them to react. These people are not born again. They give the illusion that they're born again, but they're not. And they're only going to satisfy their own bellies. A fox will always be a fox. A fox will not act like a chicken or like a meat hen when it's with the other meat hens. It's going to act like a fox. And you can pray, you can say, oh, Lord, touch the fox. Oh, Lord, save the fox. Oh, Lord, you know, turn the fox around. Oh, Lord, make the fox good. No. The fox will only do one thing. They serve their own belly. So this is why you must what? Be on the lookout. If you're raising meat hens, if you're raising anything that is food for predators, you better keep your eyes peeled. Better keep your eyes peeled. So mark those. Mark them. And then avoid them. Now, in verse 19, another reason why you need to mark them and avoid them is not only because they will destroy the membership. Not only will they divide the membership. Not only will they splinter the membership with their insidious talk. But then once that happens, verse 19, the reputation of the church is flushed down the toilet. Look what Paul says in verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad to all men. In other words, Paul says, listen, the church of Rome is known as a powerful church because it loves the Lord. It preaches the gospel. It's united. It's a church that serves the Lord. It's a church that has an impeccable record. Your obedience to Christ and his teachings is known throughout the whole world. And I am glad for that on your behalf. But I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. In other words, Paul says, when it comes to good and good teachings and good practices, I would want you to have a PhD. I would want you to be a scholar when it comes to everything good, but I would want you to be a kindergartner. I would want you to be like a child in 4K when it comes to evil. In other words, know as much as you can about good and know as little as you can about evil. Why? Because the wolves are the reverse. The wolves have the PhD in evil, and they have no knowledge of good. So we need to be the opposite of those who are infiltrating the church, because if we adopt emphases, if we allow them to bite us and we get their rabies, then we will cause what? Divisions in the church. We're going to cause offenses. We're going to come at each other's throats. So don't learn from these evil people. Your reputation, don't let these evil people infiltrate the church and split the church, and don't let them ruin the reputation of the church. These people are only about fighting. Everywhere they go, they fight. And everywhere they go, every stop they make, at every flock they come against, the shepherds will testify that they're nothing but trouble. The wolf pack is nothing but trouble. And then Paul says to us in Romans 16:20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. In other words, so I would say to you, we're a blessed people. We don't have this situation today. But what about if it shows up next year? What about if it shows up in January or February? What are we going to do? Are we going to be on the alert? Are we going to be on the lookout? Will we be able to identify these people? And when we do, would we be able to mark them and avoid them? Well, that's why we're doing the study. This is why we're going to look at the text in the original language and break it down so that we can be prepared for when this happens. Now, some will say, well, pray to God it never happens. Well, again, let me put it this way. There are two farms. There are two farms. Two hobby farms. And in one hobby farm, the farmer has one chicken, two rabbits, one pig, three pigeons. He has hardly nothing. But that's his hobby farm. That's all he can handle. He's got three goats. And then there's another hobby farm, where the farmer has 100 meat hens. He's got 25 turkeys. He's got 50 geese. He's got 20 sheep, 30 goats. Now, where do you think the wolf pack's going to go? The wolf pack is going to go where the eating is abundant. So let me just warn you that as we grow, we're going to get constant waves of wolf packs. And I will be ready as shepherd of grace to do what needs to be done to ensure the safety of the flock, because we're growing and we're going to continue to grow, and we won't stop growing because we are connected to Christ. And as long as you remain connected to Christ, who is the vine and we are the branches, we're constantly going to grow. Growth invites Satan. Growth invites his mischief. Growth invites the wolf pack. So, be ready. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. And pray that this lesson was a blessing to you, as it has been to me. Don't forget, tonight we have men's fellowship. Looking forward to what Brother Sterling has in store for us today. And don't forget this coming Sunday service. God bless you. Love you much in Jesus.